Hey, would you all give Aiden a big round of applause so he can hear that anywhere he's at? Yeah. Aiden's been interning with us this summer. He's a student at Ozark Christian College, and so anytime we promote Ozark Christian College, I'm a student, a graduate of Ozark Christian College as well, so big fan, but Aiden did a great job. He's a student there at Ozark. He's been interning with us all summer. Taylor's been pouring into him this summer, our student pastor over here, and so you still tell him he did a good job, would you? We're excited to see what God's going to do with his life. And then I'm understanding it's his little brother's right behind him going to Ozark as well. I think that's, is that correct? Why do I think you're sitting over here? I just saw like 12 heads go this way. And that is correct. All right. Fantastic. Good couple of young men right there. Hey, it's great to see you today. Many of you know that we are in the middle of a sermon series called Get Ready. And there's a number of things involved with this Get Ready series, but let me tell you, the big one right in front of us is the launch of our Highlands campus on September 17th. That day is getting closer and closer all the time. This series that we're starting here or working on right now is connected to that transition into a multi-site church. Now, speaking of that, before we jump into the word today, I want to thank all of you who have taken the time to go to your app and to click on that campus choice icon there and just taking the moment to fill that out. I can't tell you how much we appreciate that, letting us know which campus you're going to make your home campus. If you haven't done so yet, please do so as soon as possible. Just go to the app and do that and just follow the instructions. And if you're like, I don't use the app, I'm not a tech person, then here we still want you to participate. Here's how you do it. Just call the office on Monday morning and say, let me tell you where I'm heading. Okay, it's that easy. And we will do it for you. But let me tell you, your participation, all right, gives us the most concrete data moving forward, and it's greatly appreciated. It's going to help us better prepare for this next step as a church family. It's going to help us better shepherd our church family and lead it. So thank you for doing that. Like I was saying, this series right here is connected to this jump to multi-site, and our focus has been, what does it look like to be a disciple-making and a disciple-maturing congregation? How can we do that better and better? And we have for many weeks now, we've looked at Jesus' words there in Matthew chapter 28 when he said what? Maybe all of us should know this by now. He says what? Go and make disciples. That's right. That is the charge. That was a charge to his disciples. And that has been the commissioning of every Christian ever since. This is what Jesus told us to do. And then what did he say right after that? Make disciples. And then he said to baptize them. Who was the them? The them are these new believers, these people coming to faith. This is all part of the journey. And then what else did he say? Teach them. Well, teach them what? Well, specifically what Jesus was saying is you teach them everything that I taught you, everything that I've commanded. Why in the world would Jesus want them to be taught what he was teaching? It's because there's a lot of growing to do. Where you start is just the beginning point, and you grow from there. As Christians, we are in a continual and constant growing and learning process. We are always supposed to be on this maturing journey, this growing into more like Christ. We do that through his teaching. So when we talk about learning and growing and becoming more like Christ, that is often referred to as, we've said it every week for a while now, that is referred to as discipleship. Discipleship. So New Life, we're in this thing together called church, and we together are all about Jesus's commission of making disciples. I just simplify and say, get them saved and help them grow. Disciple making and disciple maturing. And there's just this strong sense in us, and I hope that you are almost able to repeat this now after being in it for so many weeks, that we just feel like there is a way that we can organize ourselves around this, what we would call an all-church discipleship path, every one of us together moving towards this end. And it's a path that we would say is simple, clear, and obvious for the entire church family. It's a path that is memorable and it's easily shared with others. It's also a discipleship path that's going to help our soon-to-be two campuses stay very focused and unified and healthy and spiritually growing. Three words I've asked everybody to memorize, three words that will serve as the backbone of this all church discipleship path. Let's say them together if you remember. One, two, three.
Gather, grow, go.
Man, that sounded like everybody. That was very good. Now, for those of you that may just brand new with us, like, what are you talking about? Let me put it on the screen and let's say it all together with a lot of strength. One, two, three. Gather, grow, go. That's exactly right. For the last 2 weeks, we have been focused on that very first word, gather. That very first backbone word. And what do we mean by gather? We are talking about our weekly gathering. We come together in the name of the Lord. It's the very thing that you have come here today to do. And I want to be very clear, and I hope I've been very clear in the first couple messages in this series, that we don't believe that there is an all-church discipleship path that omits a committed church attendance. We just don't believe that exists. For all the reasons that I laid out in the last two sermons. So if you missed those sermons, please go to our website, get caught up, stay caught up. They're very, very important in what we're talking about. Now today, I would like for us to move on to the second backbone word. We're gonna move on from gather, and now we're gonna move on to grow. And like we did with the first word, gather, where we defined it to make sure it was absolute clarity, I would like to do the same thing with the word grow. I would like to be very specific with you and answer this question: what do we mean when we say grow? Now, let me tell you, for starters, what we don't mean. All right? Sometimes I learn better by finding out what something isn't than really what it is. So let's start there for just a second. Let me tell you what we don't mean when we say grow. We do not mean increasing the size of our congregation. All right? Let's be very clear about that. When we use the word grow in the context of our all-church discipleship path, we do not mean the size of our congregation increasing or decreasing or anything like that. We do not mean adding more campuses. We are going from one to two, but when we say grow, we don't mean the how many campuses. If God brings more campuses our way, that's up to him, not us, and I hope we'll be faithful with whatever God puts in front of us. When we say grow, we do not mean anything physical. Nothing physical is connected to this word grow. When we say grow, we are specifically talking about healthy spiritual growth. That involves learning more about God and becoming more like Christ, bearing good spiritual fruit. That's what we mean by grow. This growth stems primarily from God's word, and it shapes our thoughts, shapes our actions towards others. It is a beautiful, lifelong process that is always developing and maturing and moving forward, while at the same time always remembering that it is God who is continuing his work in us to help us grow. That's what we mean with this word, grow. We're talking about spiritual growth. Now, I want to share some scripture with you today, and if you'd like to turn these, you can. They're going to be on the screen behind me if you'd prefer just to follow along that way. But I'm going to start with something that the Apostle Paul wrote. He was an early convert to Christianity, powerful evangelist, church planter, wrote a number of the letters of the New Testament, and he wrote this to a group of Christians in living in Philippi. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. He says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I want you to see something. God is working on this process. He started this process in your life. He was the one that began this good work in you that will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ, which is a reference to the second coming of Christ. In other words, God started something in you when you came to faith, and he will carry you on all the way through the end to the finish line. That's what he's saying. A few verses later, Paul writes this in verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. What is Paul talking about here? In these verses, what is he referring to? He is referring to spiritual growth. He's talking about things like this: carry it on to completion, abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, and able to discern. Discerning comes with growth. These are all connected to your personal growth as a Christian. Spiritual growth that should be taking place in every follower of Christ life. Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest friends, also one of the 12 disciples, he wrote this one time, 2 Peter 3:17. He says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guards that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." What's he say? Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. Like Paul, he is talking about the journey, the spiritual journey of every Christian. How many of you like to garden? Or you love to take care of the plants in your house? How many of you, it's like walking through your house, like walking through a forest? You guys like that, right? If you've ever tried to keep a plant alive, or you've ever tried to keep a garden thriving, okay, then no doubt you have noticed that takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? I mean, you gotta pour yourself into it. It takes a lot of energy to keep these things alive. And here's some of the things you have to pay attention to. You have to make sure that whether it's a plant inside or outside your house, or it's a garden that you're working on, it's got to get enough sunlight, right? That's an important element. It needs enough water. You have to pay attention to weather conditions, and you have to protect those things, because how many of you know from experience, there's a lot of things that wants to eat it. There's a lot of things that wants to destroy what you're trying to grow. Are you guys with me on that? You know the experience. We have these rose bushes that line our sidewalk, walking up to our front door. That's something my wife planted about 7 years ago. And let me tell you, they produce beautiful roses. I mean, these rose bushes, they produce roses all the time. But recently, I can tell you, we've been noticing that a lot of our rose buds and some of our freshly bloomed roses have gone missing. True story, they're missing. And we pull into the driveway, and this has been happening a lot lately, and we'll pull in the driveway, and this is something that I hear now quite often from my wife. She says something like, "Something is eating my roses!" You know, okay, so the first thing you see. And I will tell you that it's a little terrifying sometimes when my wife says these things, all right? And she's had enough of it, just to let you know, and she has gone full CSI to try to figure out what is eating the roses. So she came to me here not too long ago, and she goes, "It's got to be the deer. It's got to be, okay, so there's got to be the deer." She says, "Deer are eating my roses." That was the problem. Now here's me. So I don't have a green thumb. I don't garden. I don't, things you give to, don't ask me to water your plants. They'll die when you go on vacation, okay? So I said, "Well, I've never seen a deer do that." I'm just telling you how it goes. But it doesn't matter, I've never seen it. She's convinced that a deer was eating her roses. And then a couple weeks ago, I was walking through our kitchen, and we have a window that stares out of our kitchen right onto our front area where the roses are located. And guess what I saw? I saw a deer in broad daylight walking all bold and confident up to my roses with its mouth open, and I watch it chomp down on one of the roses. And I instinctively yell through the house, not knowing where my wife was in the house. But I said, "Kirsten, the deer are eating your roses." And she bolts out the door at Mach 1. I don't even think her feet touched the ground. And she ran out in our front area, yelling and hollering and screaming at these deer. There turned out to be four of them, one with a mouthful. And she scared them all off. Now, what's really funny, or maybe it's ironic, 1 week before this, I installed a doorbell camera, and it caught the whole thing. And if you'd like to see a side of my wife that you have never seen before, it's on video, and I am not showing it to you. All right, just telling you, I'm not doing it. But I will let my wife decide if that video ever sees the light of day, all right? I don't know if you ever had that experience, but if you've ever tried to keep a plant alive or to have a garden that produces a lot of vegetables and things, it takes time and energy to put into it for that to produce the outcome that you're hoping for. But isn't it true that when it finally blooms, or all the flowers come into full bloom, or the garden produces the vegetables or the fruit that you were hoping it would produce, doesn't it at the end of the day make you say, it was all worth it? Isn't it? Isn't that just a feeling? It was all worth it. Everything I put into this, totally worth it. Do you know the same is true with spiritual growth as well? Everything that you put into your spiritual health grows into something special and beneficial in your life. But it does take time, it does take intentionality, and it does take effort. Paul would go on to say in 1 Corinthians or Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he would say, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now, we've read a few passages together, but I hope that you see that just from these very few that we have looked at, it's not hard to see spiritual growth, development, maturing, this process. Well, that was on the hearts and minds of the church's earliest leaders, those who knew Jesus personally. There is clarity in the text that we were born to grow and that there is something produced from a healthy spiritual life. So just some of the words we've read: good fruit, growing knowledge has been gained, discernment is the outcome of this, knowing God's will, depth and insight, all of which help you stay faithful to Christ until the very end. I hope you know you're born to grow. It's part of your Christian life that there's this forward momentum, this maturing, this discipleship process. So in discussing it in terms like that, and discussing as a church family what an all-church discipleship path looks like, we come to the second word, grow. And how can we as a church family, every last one of us, organize ourselves in a way where we're in a healthy path of spiritual growth? Now, I can tell you with a lot of confidence today that spiritual growth comes through several things. First of all, it comes through engagement with God's word, okay? Spiritual growth comes through engagement with God's word. You're not gonna grow, you're not gonna develop, you're not gonna become everything that God intended for you to become if you ignore God's word. You've gotta be in God's word. Here's what else I can tell you with great confidence today, that spiritual growth comes through connection with the body of Christ. Everything that I learned from the Bible tells me that we're not supposed to go at it alone. Now, there's a lot of things about personal spiritual growth that you do on your own, but as a whole, spiritual growth comes through connection with the body of Christ. And finally, I can tell you with a lot of confidence that spiritual growth comes from loving and serving others, okay? All of these things produce spiritual growth in somebody's life. Now, are these the only ways that a person can grow spiritually? And the answer to that is obviously no. I wouldn't say that, and I don't believe that, because God will use many things to help you grow and develop as a Christian, help you grow spiritually, including painful experiences, including trials and tribulations, including a good dose of repentance and confession, and a number of things that come into our lives. All of them God can use to produce spiritual growth. You remember what it says in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So there's a lot of ways that we grow spiritually as a Christian, but as it relates to an all-church discipleship path, I want to focus on these three areas that I listed just a moment ago. And I have a question for you, church, something I want us to ponder and think through and dwell upon for just a little bit. Is there a way for the entire church to experience spiritual growth through engagement with God's word, Spiritual growth through connection with the body of Christ and spiritual growth through loving and serving others. And I would say all at the same time. Is there a way for that to happen on an all church level? And I would say that the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. We believe that it can happen inside the context of a healthy life group. Healthy life group. If you've been around New Life for a while, then life group is not a word that should be unfamiliar to you. But if you're brand new with us, it may not be as familiar, especially right now because a lot of our life groups take a few weeks off in the summer to kind of regroup and come back together strong in the fall. But let me just tell you, for us, here's what a life group is, and I want to be very clear on what I'm talking about. For us, a life group is a smaller group of people made up of our New Life family. Usually that's somewhere between 8 and 12 people who meet together weekly, and that typically happens in somebody's home, to study God's word together, to pray together, to fellowship, and to serve the Lord together. Every life group here at New Life has a life group leader who rallies the group together and helps keep them on track with what we are learning that week. All of our life groups study the same thing, and it all stems from what is preached that weekend. So we are aligned that way as a whole church. Now, let me tell you something about how we see this stuff happening and how we think about it. We have referred to ourselves as a church many times. I've stood up here many times and said these very things, that we are not a church with life groups, but we are a church of life groups. And many of you know that those are two completely different things, aren't they? Because a church with life groups means that it is an option offered. It's an option. It's a program, usually one of many programs within the church that you can participate in. That is a church with life groups. But that's not how we see ourselves. We are a church of life groups. And that speaks more to our identity. It's not just some things that some of our people do, but rather it's who we are as a church family. So here at New Life, in light of this all-church discipleship path, please understand that we see ourselves as a large church family that is made up of life groups. And all of these life groups pour in to make up who we are as a larger church family. So that's how we see ourselves. Or can I just say it a little more clearly? That's what we are striving to become in this all-church discipleship path. And with our time remaining here today, I want to paint a picture for you. And I'm going to ask you to dream with me just a little bit. I want to paint a mental picture, and I want you to imagine with me what New Life would be like right now, what it would be like for you personally too, if every single person who called New Life their home was actively engaged in a life group. Now just think about that. What would that be like for our church family? I mean, I think about every single person in our church family, every last one of them is also meeting in a smaller group of people in someone's home weekly. What does that look like? The entire church family is doing this. Every last person in our church is enjoying great friendship and fellowship with others. Imagine if that smaller group of people turned out to be some of the very best friends you had on this planet. Just think about what that might be like. Some of the best friends you've ever had, you actually find yourself wanting and also spending more time with them than just the weekly life group gathering. This small group of friends, you guys open the Word of God together, you study it out, you are mutually refreshed by God's word. You're also mutually challenged by each other in God's word. And the very things that you are studying together, you see them played out in your daily life. Every single person in our church family. This smaller group of people are friends who trust each other. They pray for one another. They're also together praying for all the things that everybody else is also praying for in our whole church family. And on an average week, there's hundreds, if not thousands, if not many, many thousands of prayers all going up to God from our church family together. This smaller group of people turn out to be the ones that you lock arms with and serve side by side with. You find yourself helping and serving the needs of others like the scriptures call us to do, using your spiritual gifts to build up the church, serving the ministry, outreach with the gospel. This smaller group of people are there for you, not just when things are going good, but when you are at your lowest moment or in need of extra special care, and you are there for them if the situation is reversed. Can you imagine with me, what if the entire New Life family had that experience? And all of these experiences collectively made up who we are, our very identity as New Life Christian Church today. What kind of church could we be? And more importantly, I would say, what kind of spiritual growth would be taking place in people's lives who make up these life groups? What kind of impact could a church like that have on a community? Can you see that picture? Is that a reality that you can see in your own life? Now there are some people, in fact, I would say there are a lot of people who would say, that's a pipe dream. Maybe you've heard the naysayers say things like that before. They might say, that's just something that preachers say to motivate people. But I would say, not so fast. We're talking about spiritual growth through what? Through engagement in God's word. How else? Connection with the body of Christ. How else? Loving and serving others. All of this, my friends, I'm telling you, is absolutely within the realm of possibility for our entire church family. Not only would I say that, but I'd also say this. It's not that hard to pull off. It really isn't. If everybody shared that same commitment to this all-church discipleship path, it's not hard. It's easy, actually. A church family committed to gathering weekly in the name of the Lord each weekend, a church family who's also committed to connecting weekly in a smaller group of Christians who engage God's word, love each other, and pray together and serve together. Friends, I can tell you, that's not a pipe dream. Not at all. It's not pie in the sky thinking that a church could be that way. And there's no limits to what God can do through a church family who operates that way and is growing in such ways. I would argue that it would start to look very much like the church in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 says this. This is what the very first Christians did. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would you think about that? Would you even be willing to pray about that? Would you consider not being a part of another run-of-the-mill church, going through the motions, but rather being a part of something where everybody's experiencing this healthy spiritual growth as a church family? Not only that, seeing and enjoying the fruits of the labor of a disciple-making and disciple-maturing church family who's all walking down this path together. Would you think about it? Would you pray about it? Deep down, I would say this. I'm going to put some words in your mouth. How could you not want that in your walk with the Lord? Honestly, how could you not want that in your walk with the Lord? And to follow that up, I would challenge you this way. What is it today that is going to keep you from it? Would you think about it? Would you pray about it? Now, later this month, we're going to be having life group signups. Okay? It's going to be happening right out in our lobby in a couple of weeks. So not only right now are we talking about an all-church discipleship path as a church family, but let me tell you, you don't have to wait very long to get on it, okay? You have to wait long. Let me put something out there to you. By September 10th, we hope to have the entire New Life family in a life group. Now let that sink in for just a minute. By September 10th, we'd love to see the entire New Life family in a life group. A life group like the one I've been describing here today. And if not the entire church by September 10th, then at least everyone beginning to shift that way. Now again, is this the only way to grow spiritually? Absolutely not. No. You can still grow if you're not in a life group. In fact, I'm actually going to be talking about that in the very next sermon in this series. I'm going to talk about your personal walk with Jesus and what we do individually and how other aspects of our church pour into growing as well. But we have this vision as a church of life groups where the entire church family is engaged with God's word, connected with the entire body of Christ, and loving and serving others. Now, let me also say something else, because I feel like I'm putting a lot of challenges in front of you today, so let's just keep going, all right? I think you can handle it. Let me put a call out to all of you, and I know many of you are in this room today, who have been itching to sink your teeth into something very significant for the kingdom. I know you're out there. Those of you who have been sensing God's call to step up, those of you who know that you have gifts and abilities that lend itself to this end that I'm talking about, but for whatever reason, you haven't exercised that yet. You haven't taken that step of faith, or perhaps the path to do so has not been open to you. Maybe some of you just have been a little fearful to take that step of faith. As your pastor, I want to tell you something. We need you to step up and lead. We need you to be a life group leader. And I can tell you right now, we have enough life group leaders in this church to minister to the needs of our entire church family and then some. But we need you to step up. And we need you to answer God's call. So would you think about that too? And would you pray about that as well? And maybe you're like, I'm hearing God loud and clear tonight and I'm ready. And if that's you, or you'd like a little bit more information, real easy way to move forward this way. Go to our website. At the top, click on the Ministries tab, and then scroll down and click on the Life Groups, and everything you need to move forward with that is right there. Or if you'd like to have a personal conversation with Cody Raglan, who is our Connections pastor, and he's in charge of all of our Life Groups, you can contact him through the website as well. You can call the church office, and he'll take your call. Right, Cody? Where are you at? Cody will take your call. I'm kidding. Or you can email them, call them, and or any of us will. We want to connect with you. That would have been a lot funnier if Cody was in the room. I don't see him. But let me tell you, the pathway is there, and we'd like to visit with you. And if you'd just like some more information, Cody's your guy, and he would love to visit with you. In fact, just this morning, we had a life group leaders training, and we had a whole bunch of our current life group leaders and new ones coming on board that are gone through this training. And let me tell you, we got room for a whole lot more, and we need you. So the second backbone word of our all church discipleship path is grow. And life groups for us is the bullseye on the target when it comes to our discipleship path as a church. Now, as we close here, I want you to think about this path a little bit more clearly here. Think about what we've talked about so far. An entire church family who is what? Committed to gather weekly in the name of the Lord as a family, just like we're doing right now. It's of highest priority. We protect it. We get our families here, and we don't let anything interfere. We're committed to that. That's the gathering. And a church family that's committed as well to a life group where engagement with God's word and connection with the body of Christ and loving and serving others helps produce this spiritual growth. Gather. Grow. And more to come. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for the day here that we can gather and worship you, and that we can lift up our voices in worship, and we can remember you through Christ's sacrifice by eating the bread and drinking the juice. And we can open up your word with great confidence and absorb it and let it teach us and guide us. We thank you, Lord, we can do that. Lord, I thank you for the good work you're doing in our church. Lord, I'm so thankful for the spiritual growth that is taking place among our church family. Lord, I pray that you'd ramp that up even more. That, Lord, I pray that every last one of us would think on these things, pray about these things, about being on this all-church discipleship path of gathering and growing and going together. And that, Lord, you'd speak to us today, speak to our hearts, especially, Lord, maybe those that need to step up and lead. And it's time. It's time to step up in this significant way. Lord, I pray that you'd put a calling on their hearts, a tugging on their spirit, if that is something you would have them do. But Lord, we leave that between you and them, and we just lay it at your feet. Lord, you know what we need. Lord, honestly, we just thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. There's not a one of us that would be here today had you not done that for us, for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves and opening heaven's doors of salvation for all who would call upon you in faith. Lord, we honor you, glorify you above everything else today for the work of salvation on the cross and your resurrection. And we honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.